This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. For the past couple of weeks, our Precious Lives series has reported on a summer recreational basketball league in Milwaukee's inner city. We've learned about the Warning League, as it's known, has been affected by gun violence and how it served as a stabilizing force for young people.
But Warning has a long history of touching lives and turning aspiring basketball players into stars on and off the court. We invited three men whose playing days led them from Warning's 29th Street team to college basketball and even playing in the pro ranks overseas.
Calvin Rayford was Wisconsin's Mr. Basketball in 1991, and he went on to play for the University of Kansas, which reached the Final Four in 1993. Todd Barnett played at Wyoming, and Brian Garner played at the University of Iowa.
All three now teach and coach at schools in Milwaukee, but had never all gotten together to talk publicly about the influence Warning had on their lives until now. We are thrilled to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And do I have this right? Did you all play for 29th Street team in Warning?
Yes.
What do you think people ought to know about the Warning League?
Myself, for me, it was to build camaraderie with inner city youth, which I was once about a time. It helped me become a young man, and then it helped me become a man. Because I use it from day to day in my life, everyday life experiences now.
When you think about your playing days there, how do you think what you did then
transfers to now?
Yeah.
Well, we had a strict, expectations are put on us. I mean, we had practice times that we had to be there. We had basically a no-excuse type policy. We were our own bosses, but at the same token, the coaches that coached us expected more out of us than what we were, given at the time when we were youth.
You think they wanted you to think it was a privilege to play?
It was. Basketball is a privilege to play. It's not mandatory that you play basketball. You have to do certain things in order to play basketball. You got to take care of your body. You have to listen. You have to be a team player. And you have to want it. And a lot of us that played in the eras that we played in, we wanted it. And we somewhat expected to use basketball as a tool to better our relationships and our livelihoods.
Two of you agree with that?
Yes, definitely. It was a fraternity. I mean, we had four different age groups, level.
How old were you when you started playing?
I was 12 years old when I came to 29th Street. These gentlemen were older than me and taught me so much as far as being a people person. And you know how when you 12 and 13, you look forward to like, man, I can't wait till I'm 18 or 16 or 17.
Right.
They was already there, Brian and Todd. So that's what helped me out a lot as far as what to expect going into middle school and high school and what you got to do and keeping your nose clean and staying out of trouble. So for me, me being the only child, these was like my big brothers to me, and that's how I looked at them, and they looked at me as a little brother. We had three great coaches. One just passed away in June, Dura Banks, Mark Wade, and Will Wade. They were father figures to all of us,
yeah.
And they instilled discipline and rules and dedication and stuff like that, and it carried on. After we got older, they wasn't no gentlemen that when we were 12 or 13 or after we played, they just said, oh, forget about y'all. Nah. When we went off to college or whatever situation we have, it can be our girlfriend or whatever, we called them. We talked to them, and they gave us the best advice so we can move on.
Do you feel like when you got to college, were you in a better position to succeed because of what you had done playing Warning, playing for 29th Street, to succeed?
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
this is Brian, and I'm going to be brutally honest about it because every year at Iowa, I would miss the first three games of the season, NCAA sanctioned, because I would come back and play Warning. They would tell me not to play. They would tell me, don't go back. If you go back and play, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. Well, to me, the best players in the country at that time, because we didn't have AAU, were the guys that I would play against in the summertime. Those were the guys that weren't eligible. Those were the guys that didn't have anything to lose. Those were the guys that during the season would come cheer for us and make sure that we did the right things. So it was a barometer to judge where you were in the basketball community in the city.
And so it was worth it to you to miss those first three games that the NCAA said you've got to sit out because you were getting something equally as important by playing and warning in the summer.
Yes, because the guys that I played, my teammates and the league that I played in was better than the league that they had me playing in at the college that I went to, which was Iowa. So B.J. Armstrong, Roy Marble, Ed Horton, to me, the competition level was higher here in Milwaukee in the Warning League than there.
Better than the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah. You guys mentioned about the AAU taking over Warning. Well, it didn't affect us. We didn't have to worry about it in 87. But after us, Calvin had to worry about that because his team, his Warning team was mostly made up of his AAU team.
All right, so Calvin, you pick up the story from there. Warning, very good competition. AAU, same thing. Kansas still seems like a whole different league.
Yeah, Warning was just, the competition was by far none. I mean, I was playing the best of the best against the best of the best. And, you know, I don't think a lot of states and city give Milwaukee a lot of credit. We have a lot of good basketball players come out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and that time and that era in late 80s or early 80s, early 90s, when you went to a park, you had to play somebody. You had to be for real or they was going to embarrass you. So all of those experience, playing against older guys like Droop and Brian Gardner's and Keith Stewart's and Terry Bennett's, that helped me became who I was. So, and when I got to Kansas, I was prepared. You know, when I was holding Adonis Jordan, I seen it already from Milwaukee, so college it wasn't was no easy, shock right. to me.
Athletically, college was easy for me.
Yeah.
Academically, it was a small challenge, but athletically, it was a breeze. Yeah. Those guys didn't compare to the guys that I played against growing up.
Yeah, I agree to that, too. One thing about then, and I should say now, the accolades that we possess and gained from basketball, we didn't have the internet. We just had a telephone, word of mouth, and a car to drive to the park to see who was playing.
We didn't have TV. That's why everybody came to see us in the summertime because in the wintertime you didn't get to see us until we made if you didn't make it to state.
You didn't make it to state.
You wouldn't be on TV.
You wouldn't be on TV, so nobody gets to see you. So a lot of people would come around to playgrounds in the summer and say, hey, I heard about this and that person, and who is he? Where is he at? And believe it or not, we would get kids come up to us, ask for autographs in the summertime.
Listen, this is, I'm not trying to be funny. Have you ever seen Above the Rim, the basketball movie? You know how those guys hang on the fences and everything like that? Every game we would have that.
Literally.
And more than one playground.
2,500
people.
At
every
park.
Every park, they would hang on fences and wait. They would actually show up. We would have two games in a day. They would show up early to each game just to watch the warm-ups.
Do you think you appreciated just how amazing that experience was while you were having that experience?
No, because you're in it. Right. You can appreciate it more because we're older now. We're looking back. And we can say, wow, I remember this, and I remember it. At the time, when I'm laying it up, I'm looking around, but I'm worrying about giving my opponent 30 points and ripping him five times. So at that time, I wouldn't.
Yeah, our rules with each other was we wouldn't talk to anybody off the court. If we talked to anybody off the court, you weren't focused to be in a situation. When we were kids, we used to have to sit on the playground in an Indian squat and watch.
And watch. And
it was like if you thought you were good enough, you still weren't good enough because your age didn't say that. You had to show it in a game consistently, not just one game, before they would even let you play pickup with them.
How did you get good enough then?
Practice.
Well, when you know where you want to be and you know that you want to be one of those people one day that everybody's going to watch on that playground, when the lights go off, you're still bouncing that ball and shooting to get yourself better and make yourself better.
Well, I think a lot, too, especially with these guys up here, first of all, I really believe, you know, I say people like LeBron James and Chris Paul and Kobe and Allen Iverson, I said God sprinkled them a little bit. When they was getting birth and made, he put a little extra sprinkle on them. So that's first of all. You ask, how did we get so good? First of all, God gave us a little sprinkle and mm-hmm. gave us some talent. Mm-hmm. So with that, you got to say, you know what? I got a little talent, but I still got to work hard because I want to be the best at that. And I think we were very good at that and disciplined at that. We wanted to be the best at basketball, period, the end, and we loved it. You know, these kids now, they like it. They don't love it. It's a big difference.
Why do you think, you were talking about kids today, they like it. They don't necessarily love it. What's the difference? Why do they like it and not love it?
Like Ty Burnett said, too much video games, too much internet. It's too much going on. You know, social media and all that, you know. It's funny that you said that. I had a kid on my team last year. We came from a basketball game, and he posted a picture that he was in the gym working out. But he just posted a picture. He wasn't in the gym working out. So it's like, why lie over something like that? But that's the perception of kids. He wanted other people to think he's working hard and he's doing this and that. But he's really not, though. So
if he was working hard, he wouldn't have time to tell people
exactly.
He was working hard.
He'd be too tired.
I don't know why they do it. That's something probably we have to ask the young generations, but it's bad. And
well, another thing, too, we used to call each other. What y'all doing today? Where y'all playing at? You know, Drupa had five people, I have five, Calvin had five, and Todd had five. And we said, well, we going to this playground, and all 25 of us will meet up there and play with the team, with the guys that you came with.
Yep.
And it may be just guys from your neighborhood that you woke up with and you play with every day.
Do you think the way Warning goes has some reflection on the way this city goes?
Wow.
It's a great, great question. Great question. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't see the 3 Ds, the dedication,
desire,
the discipline, and desire.
Yeah.
I just don't see it at all. And like I said, the parks were so packed and we were so in tune to basketball. Was it crime in Milwaukee then? Yeah, but was it lesser and lesser and lesser? Yes, it was, because we had kids being kids.
I'm going to be brutally honest, because I need to be brutally honest right now. When Warning originally started, we would travel like the NBA to each individual playground.
Yep.
You would, if you played 29th Street one day, play Columbia, it just so happened would be at 29th Street.
Yep.
Now they took the entire league and put it in one place at one time. And I think that hurts the community because it takes away from the grandmothers and the grandfathers that walk from their house to the playground. It's probably a block away to see their grandparents, their grandkids play. They took the family side of Warning away.
Brian, you were talking about how the students you work with know you as a person before they know about your basketball career, and you said that kind of makes you happy.
Yeah, it does. It does, because so many people outside of the school system, I know the community, so it's like everyone knows me from basketball. So when I finally get a chance to meet a kid, and this kid listens to me, respects me, and understands where I'm coming from, and he doesn't know the fact that I play basketball, and then he goes home bragging about me, my gym teacher or my teacher, Mr. G, and they say, well, who is that? Brian Garner. Their parents say, well, I know him. He played basketball and so on and so forth, and this kid runs back to school and says, well, my mother and father know you. And I look at him, I say, you must have been at home talking about me. And they say, yeah, and they start smiling. And that builds, you know, that makes me feel good, because I'm more than just a basketball player.
They were talking about you before they knew you were a basketball player.
Right.
That's our job now, is to help build our community and get the kids back in order the best way that we know how.
Right.
Calvin, Todd, the same for two of you?
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with Brian on that one. I mean, it's best that a kid know you as a person first before he knows you as just super figure or whatever they label you as, being an athlete or basketball player.
Yeah, I don't say nothing, and, you know, just we might go in the gym or whatever and might play one-on-one or whatever, or might shoot, and they say, wow, you don't miss. Like, who did you used to play and this and that? And they might go to the computer and Google, and it's like, wow, I didn't know this. So And then they look at you different, like, well, why you didn't say nothing, or why this? I don't need to, because I'm a person. I'm bigger than basketball, so that's why I don't brag or say nothing. And the great Dura Banks is a great quote. He always say, let other people talk about you. Never talk about yourself. If you're good and you played hard and you did it the right way, they'll talk about you. You don't need to talk about yourself. Let them tell Calvin Rayford stories. Yep. You don't need to tell them. Let them tell them. Yeah. And guess what? When I got older, younger, I was like, what is he talking about?
Right.
But when I got older, I'll be standing around, I may be somewhere and somebody say, man, they telling Calvin Rayford stories. So he was right.
So you went to Iowa, you went to Kansas, you went to Wyoming, you all got to travel and see the country and even the world. Why did you end up back in Milwaukee?
Roots. I love my city.
It's home. It's home. This is where it happened.
I love my city.
You ever think about not living here?
Well, we all live somewhere else, but eventually we came back home.
You got a saying, if you can't make it where you're from, you can't make it where you're trying to go. What better place to make it where you're from opposed to, you know, going somewhere else and putting all that energy and that hard work into it? Do it for your city.
And one of my greater experiences being outside of Wisconsin was the fact that me and Calvin Rayford were playing against each other in Columbia.
Right.
The country of Columbia. The team didn't know we knew each other, but me and Cal, we couldn't wait to play each other just so that we could look at each other and say, man, we did it.
And look where we came from, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Right. We in Columbia.
Right.
Wow.
Having a ball.
Either of you speak Spanish?
We speak a little Spanish, yeah. Yeah, poquito.
Mucho poquito. So, you know, it's one turn deserves another, and now it's our turn to take care of the community or sort of house the community in. We have to do it one day at a time.
The greatest satisfaction that I get, and we all get, I'm quite sure because they've been working with kids as long as I have, when you see a kid who I had at St. Charles or I had at Ira Avenue or Ben Franklin, and they're older now, and he said, I remember you. You used to talk to me. You used to be on me. You used to stay on me. He said, man, I listen. I got me a job. Mm-hmm. I go to work. I'm disciplined. I don't do this and that. He said, you was right.
House.
Life can be easy if you just make it easy and do the right thing. So when you hear that, that keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know, you can't reach everybody, but you just keep doing what you're doing. And you're going to reach somebody.
And they're telling Calvin Rayford stories of a different kind.
Exactly. Definitely.
Well, people could do a lot worse than having you guys as role models. And even if you don't want to talk too much about yourself, I'm glad you talked with me for a few minutes anyway. Thank you so much. Good luck to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Brian Garner, Todd Barnett, and Calvin Rayford all played basketball for the 29th Street team in the Warning League back in the 1980s and 90s. They all now teach and coach students here in Milwaukee. You can find a link to the Precious Lives series about the Warning League at WUWM.com. Above the rim, above the rim.